Willie and D-Mace, final hour of the week here on this Friday afternoon. Stillman and Company coming up at 2 o'clock. Later this hour, we will hit our thoughts on Caleb Williams and the rookie quarterback starters. And we'll also take it to the bank. But as we promised you earlier, Mitch Light joins us, and we're going to talk a little college football to start things off here. He was talking a lot of Caleb Williams last year. Now he's moved on to the Bears. The Athletic has done an excellent preview, if you subscribe to The Athletic, about what their 28 writers think of the college football playoff teams, who's going to win the championship, who's going to make the playoffs, and what are the Heisman Trophy contenders here for the predictions. So Mitch is one of the college football editors here. So Mitch, of the 28 writers, did you get it? Are you one of the 28, or did they not let you vote?
Good question. I was the Athletic's consensus staff bracket, which you'll find at the, we can talk about, which is the bottom of the story. I was part of that. I don't think the specifics on who we think is going to win, I'm not quoted in that at all. So I am sort of part of this. So
okay.
We also had, which I don't think it's publishing next week, we asked everyone on staff for a couple of hot takes, which kind of have fun with predictions. And I just remember mine last year was that UCLA was going to win the Pac-12, and that did not come close to fruition. So we'll see how I do this year. But, obviously with the season kicking off tomorrow, it's time for all the preview stuff and all the predictions, so a good time of year.
Is Rex Rhodes in this mix? I did not see him quoted in the article.
No, he is not. I think, again, if you follow the instructions, the predictions for our bracket predictions went out to all the writers. So I don't know. Joe's not the best with email and Slack and correspondence.
No. Procedure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm older than Joe, but I'm definitely savvier than him with some of the technology stuff. So I don't know if Joe was part of this mix either.
Okay, well, let's start with the big headline, and that is of the 28 that had votes, 16 predicted Ohio State to win the whole thing and only 8 for Georgia. I think that would probably surprise a lot of people down this way.
Yeah, I think Ohio State, and now it's like who do you think is the best team versus who's going to win it? I mean, there's all – you can talk yourself into different arguments. And the phrase I used when I was back in my previous life at Athlon Sports when we did previews in certain years when you had an overwhelming number one team and you didn't pick them, like I would see other polls that didn't pick Alabama a certain year or whatever it might be. I was like, you're just trying to be cute. In my – assessment this year is if you pick someone other than Ohio State or Georgia in the preseason, you're just trying to be different or trying to be cute. I'm not saying those two teams will definitely win, but if you just look at rosters, strengths, weaknesses, all that stuff, I think clearly those are the two best teams. I think Ohio State has the best team. The reason you might not pick them is baggage. Losing to Michigan 3 years in a row, a lot of pressure around the program. And then I guess the other reason you wouldn't pick him is quarterback play. You know, they bring in Will Howard, who was good at Kansas State, but far from great. Like, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but, like, he was a really nice quarterback at Kansas State. That's kind of the way you viewed him. A typical Kansas State quarterback, could throw the ball, but also did a lot of things with his legs. But at Ohio State, we are accustomed to elite quarterback play. So I don't know if he's going to be a true difference maker for them, but it might not matter with the talent they have. If you guys recall in the offseason, sure, they did great in the transfer portal, but probably even a bigger deal for them was so many of the juniors who came back for another shot. You know, a lot of that had to do with NIL and stuff, bypassing the draft. But they really not only added some players to the portal, but they, you know, you hear college baseball coaches say it a lot. Sometimes your best recruits are the seniors that come back. For Ohio State, that was the case this year.
The only other two teams that got a vote for winning the national title were Oregon and Alabama. Did that surprise you?
I mean, those would be my next – those. No, that didn't surprise me. I mean, Oregon's going to be a popular team. Mm-hmm. Dillon Gabriel is a perfect fit for them offensively. Will Stein's a coordinator there, and, you know, they had great success last year at the quarterback position. One thing I think is a misconception about Oregon as they transition to the Big Ten. Like, this isn't mid-2000s Oregon – kind of a fun team, just throws it all around. They have recruited very well in the trenches. You know, Mario Cristobal was the previous head coach and understands offensive line play. So that was an area of emphasis, and Dan Lanning has kept that up. So don't expect this team to be weak in the trenches or get pushed around by some of the top teams in the Big Ten. I think they are legit. In Alabama, I'm just a huge Kalen DeBoer fan. I've followed his career ever since he was in Indiana as the offensive coordinator. The guy's done nothing but win at a very high level, and obviously he's inherited a lot of talent there, and I think he's going to do really good things with Jalen Milroe. So, again, Ohio State and Georgia to me are the easy picks. If you can't pick those two, very good, strong arguments for Oregon and Alabama.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic, talking college football. Now, Mitch, one team that you know many people are talking about, maybe not
Michigan
so
State,
because
right?
of course we always talk about Michigan State over here, and everybody yeah. always talk about Michigan State. I think they had Michigan State winning a national championship, but that
of
may
course,
be in
yeah.
a that may be in a bracket that I saw like a long time ago, a while ago.
Yeah,
East Nashville, East
exactly.
Lansing Blogger,
the East Lansing Ledger. I think that's where it was from.
Sorry to hijack the conversation.
No, no, you're fine, Mitch. But Missouri, Willie and I, we got a question about Missouri early in the show, and Willie and I were talking about Missouri. And I look at Missouri as I think they will benefit a lot from their schedule. They do have their quarterback returning and their top two yep. receivers returning. But beyond that, I know they had some transfers come in. But where do you see Missouri? Because they have a very, as of now, if you're ranking their schedule, it's not a daunting schedule whatsoever.
Right, especially for playing in the SEC. I think
exactly.
Missouri is a very interesting team. Now, they were very good last year. You know, in the SEC, it's hard to, like, get a cheap 10-2. You know, some years you can look at it and say, oh, you didn't really beat anyone. Like, but, you know, Missouri was legit good last year. Their losses, the LSU game at home is a 10-point loss on paper, but I think they were up with, like, 3 minutes to go. And then Georgia, they played Georgia as well as anyone down in Athens. So they're legit. Brady Cook is obviously very good. Luther Burden is really fun. And I've made this point many times. Like, it's kind of cool when it's a program like Missouri that doesn't get a lot of five stars. When they get one and he's awesome, it's, like, good. I mean, that's master of the obvious there. But programs like Georgia and Alabama, you know, they can survive if they get some five stars that don't pan out. When Missouri gets a five star, especially a local kid from East St. Louis, and he's good, it's just kind of, I think it's good for college football. I think the psychology of Missouri is going to be interesting. I kind of throw Ole Miss into this group, and maybe I'm putting too much stock into it. But previous years, when you had a team like this getting a lot of buzz that usually isn't in this position, internally they're probably thinking, oh, we can make the 4-team playoff. But, like, externally there's not – like, if this were last year, there wouldn't be a lot of expectations for Missouri to make the college football playoff with 4 teams. This year, with their national rank and their schedule, there's a lot of pressure. And I'm just curious, how will they handle that pressure? It comes from internally, it comes externally, people talking about them. So that to me, with, and again, I'll throw Ole Miss into that group, even though they're ranked a little bit higher. I just, like, how will they deal with those expectations? Mm-hmm. But as far as the product on the field, they're very, very good. Now, Cody Schrader was so good at running back for them last year and such kind of a leader. So, you know, usually teams can find a running back, especially when you're good elsewhere, when you can throw the ball. But I'll be interested to see how much they miss Schrader running the ball.
Now, out of these top 4 teams that the Athletic have listed as, you know, first 4 in, or the teams that will get a bye that first week, Ohio State, Utah, Georgia, and Florida State, is Utah the one team that you look at that may not make it? The one team in that bracket that you think will not make it? Is it a Utah?
Yeah, I mean,
so that opens up a really interesting thing. That I honestly, until I looked at the bracket, uh-huh. Mitch, I had not thought about this factor.
Yeah, well, I mean, for those of the fans that haven't followed that closely, the top 4 conference champions get the top 4 seeds. Like, mm-hmm.
That's basically why Utah is in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I forgot, you published a lot of brackets. We've had different writers, and I try not to look at the comments section too much, and I'd like to think the Athletic we've got pretty good commenters for the most part, but, you know, people say dumb things everywhere. And the first one was
including
like,
on this show.
Exactly.
No way is Utah. And our writer was very polite and said, well, they, you know, if they win the Big 12, they're going to be the 4 seed. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic that a team like Utah might either be 4th or out. It's just like kind of your theory. Do you think 2 Big 12 teams are going to get in? You know, so if Utah finishes 2nd, let's say to Kansas State, but they're 10-2, okay, they might get in as the 11th seed or something like that. But I'm in general fascinated by the Big 12. just do yourself a favor, if you're a college football fan, look at the 16-team Big 12 and try to figure out, like, we might do a story on this, over the next 5 years, like, rank 1 through 16 for most conference wins. Like, I'm not kidding. When you can make a rational argument for all 16 teams, like, could be the best program over the next 5 years. You can't do that in the other leagues. There's just too much of a hierarchy, established hierarchy. I think the Big 12 is like, it's just like Utah's probably the best program. Kansas State's been good in recent years. People love Texas Tech's potential, TCU's potential. Baylor has proven to be elite under different coaches. UCF has a lot of potential. So I just love that league. But Derek, to specifically answer your question, Utah is my personal pick to win the Big 12, and obviously our staff pick since we have them fourth. But yeah, I could clearly see them missing out on the playoffs.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic discussing college football and their rankings in the playoffs. Now, Mitch, with that being said, what is one scenario that you believe can sort of turn this thing into a frenzy?
That's a good question. I think the debates are going to be weighing that fourth, fifth SEC team, that 9-3 SEC team, or Big Ten for that matter, mm-hmm. against an ACC or Big 12 team that's 10-2, but doesn't have the quality wins. I think too many people are pre-programmed in college football just to look at overall record and kind of create your hierarchy there. Because, for instance, we talked about schedule, Derek. A 10-2 mm-hmm. Missouri team or a 9-3 Missouri team might not deserve to get in. Mm-hmm. They might not have the wins. But let's say Georgia, for whatever reason, has some injuries and they stumble a little bit. Well, look at their schedule. They play at Alabama. They play at Ole Miss. And they play at Missouri. They have another really tough road game, maybe at Texas. That's it. So, like, that schedule is going to be a bear. So, like, even an 8-4 Georgia team could be more deserving of a 10-2 team. So I think that's going to be the upheaval, or that's not the right word, at the end of the year, the debates trying to balance. And Stu Mandel, my colleague, made this point on his podcast with Bruce Feldman earlier. Like, we used to think of Power 5 versus Group of 5 as, like, the delineation. Now it's Big Ten SEC gap, ACC Big 12 gap, then Group of 5. So to me, that's going to be the storyline throughout the year.
Mitch, another question about the bracket, because, you know, in the NCAA tournament bracket, they try to separate teams from the same league, right? So they're not playing in the second round, or especially not in the first round. I notice in the bracket, you guys have Georgia as the 2 seed, the presumed SEC champion, and then Alabama, if they were to win the first game against Ole Miss, they're it's going to be SEC versus SEC in the second round. Is that something that the committee has talked about at all, is strategizing? Because I'm looking at the other bracket where Utah's the 4 seed, and they, in your bracket, would play the winner of Oregon and Memphis.
No, it's basically they're just seeding and they're just ranking the teams. I think when you're at the top and you're – like the NCAA tournament for basketball, when you're – and I've done brackets for years, as you have – if you're bumping a team from a 4 line to a 5 line, that's not that big of a deal. You're talking about, like, the 16th best team versus the 17th best team and all that. Like, it's never going to change the – like, it's not going to screw up with the competition, if that's the right way to phrase it. This way, it would be. If you're moving a team from 7th to 6th just to avoid a rematch, that's not fair to the certain team that they're going to have to face. So, like, you're going to have a lot of SEC and Big Ten teams every year. You might have 9 of the 12 in certain years. So it's unavoidable. And so there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some great, like Alabama in our bracket right now, Alabama Ole Miss, great. They've been played every year forever, and they could play in the first round of the playoff.
You know, what's interesting, the other thought I had is, if you look at this, what would be discussed on a show like this and all around the Southeast would be if the political ramifications, if you had 3 SEC teams and they're all basically in the same half of the bracket, it would ensure that no more than one SEC team even got to the semifinal, right? And you would have SEC fans squawking and saying, wait a minute, we've got the 3 best teams. You know, you can think about what that debate would be like.
Yeah, and we're going to overreact to the way the bracket comes out. Like, we had 10 years of data for the 14 bracket, and there's only 4 teams. Like, every year we're going to get more information and figure out how the committee does it. But, hey, the committee, the makeup of the committee changes too. It's just we talk about like the bracket and the committee, like it's made up of individuals, and it's just different people that value different things on committees. And so, you know, I think in 3 or 4 years we'll get more of an understanding of how the committee reacts. But again, it changes, so there's no way to figure that out. But to your point, I think that, you know, same thing could happen with Big Ten schools. It's like, you know what, it's just deal with it. That's what happens when you're a good conference and you get five teams in.
Now, this may upset Tennessee fans, but, you know, hey, you got to get over it, and you should have gotten over it a long time ago. But I'm looking at, you know, you guys is who will win the Heisman Trophy. And obviously your top four or five guys are all quarterbacks. Well, the whole thing is quarterbacks with the exception of two guys. You look at a guy like Travis Hunter. Will he succumb to the sort of Deion Sanders negative effect of people just don't want to hear, regardless if you like him or not, people just are getting so nauseated with Deion, they may sort of take it out on his players? Because Travis Hunter is a damn good player, a damn good two-way player. And if he's at any other university, I think he may get more first-place votes for Heisman, depending on what season he has a season that he did have last season or even better, then he should be considered a high Heisman trophy candidate. But I just think him being at Colorado may work against him than for him.
Yeah, I think it's more about how the team does.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they turn around, they go 8-4, he's got a better chance. This is just like me speaking, my opinion. And I don't think that individual players get hurt by the anti-Deion backlash. Like, I think most people love Shedeur Sanders and like think he's fun, and oh, he's, you know, he was great last year, but their offensive line stunk, that's why, and love watching Travis Hunter. Like, I'm annoyed by Deion because I don't like the way he, and I went into this slight tangent, I went into this like rooting for Deion, thought he was great for the sport. I'm a little annoyed, whatever, it doesn't matter, Deion doesn't care what I think, but like the fact that he doesn't recruit, he doesn't go on in-home visits or visit schools, but yet he'll do all his commercials. I don't love the way he, you know, reacted to the media and all that. His lack, you know, can't handle the criticism. So again, like, I'm a little put off by Deion as the head coach, but I love watching Shedeur play. I wouldn't hesitate to vote if he had a great year, and I'm a Heisman voter, or Travis Hunter. Now, I'm not saying other people think like I do, but I think you can separate.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, as a voter, I would never, like, my personal opinion of a school or a coach, I mean, that should never come into play, but that's just human nature. So I don't know if I really answered your question, but bottom line, I think it's more about winning than anything else.
What's the projection on Colorado, Mitch? Better than last year? About the same?
No, they're going to be better. And, you know, there's so many different ways you can look at it, Willie. Colorado 2 years ago was one of the worst Power 5 teams in the past decade. Like, margin of victory, competitiveness, they were just horrendous. So, like, if Colorado was a victim almost of the early season success and the hype that we were all guilty of. Like, I was shocked they beat TCU. It was really fun early, and then they kind of, the real team showed out. So they are better basically across the board, but the concerns are, now they're good at the skill positions. They were good at the skill positions last year. The offensive line, they brought in some guys, but you know, that is the position where you need the most cohesion and the most experience and all that stuff. So, like, Jordan Seaton was a 5-star recruit. I think he's starting at left tackle. Like, they're just, can they come together that quickly? So, again, they're clearly better. My guess would be a 6-6 type team. They've just got to protect Shedeur. And Deion's got to be a better game coach. I mean, if you watch him play, like, at the end of the half, one game, I forgot which one, just spots the clock management. You know, when you're a 6-6 type team and you play a lot of close games, those decisions matter. So I think they'll definitely be better.
Well, the only reason I brought up the UT thing and them being upset, because, you know, we went through this over 20 years ago with Woodson winning it.
Yeah,
and Peyton,
the two-way
Manning
factor.
Yeah, and it's like, why didn't Peyton win it? Maybe there was some fatigue, you know, the whole Peyton Manning fatigue back then. I don't know. But did it hurt Peyton or did it help Peyton? You know,
picking up the old
exactly
wound right now. There's a lot of Tennessee.
So you know, it's like, no, he should have won the Heisman. But it's been for so long a quarterback sort of award, a quarterback or running back award.
Yeah.
And I know we've seen receivers win it, but we haven't seen, you know, defensive guys win it other than Charles Woodson.
Yeah, and I mean, in the last 10 years,
yeah,
I think
last,
at Alabama. I'm drawing like the on the six Smith. Devontae Smith is the only non-quarterback. So it's got to be a perfect storm of Colorado doing well, maybe no quarterback really showing out. You know, I think Dylan Gabriel is, you know, I think he's the betting favorite and he's going to have put up monster stats. So if Oregon has a good year. So, yeah, I mean, he is a guy that we're all programmed in football. Like, you play offense or you play defense. So when someone does something out of the ordinary like that and they're so good. And let's remember, he was the number one recruit in the country 3 years ago and he went to Jackson State, was committed to Florida State at one point. So it's not like we haven't heard about this guy. We've known he just happened to play at Jackson State for 1 year, but we've known about him for years.
So, Mitch, we got a game on Saturday, Florida State, Georgia Tech. Are you ready?
I'm very excited about that game. Should be a good one. I mean, Georgia Tech
over in Dublin.
Yeah. Good quarterback in Haynes King at Georgia Tech. So, yeah, should be a fun one. 11 o'clock. I am very much looking forward to it.
Oh, very, very. So, Florida State easy in that one?
I don't think so.
No?
Like I said, you know, Georgia Tech was good, better than expected last year. Brent Key's done a good job. They've got a good quarterback. Jamal Haynes, a very good running back, good running game there. Florida State, DJU, first game as a quarterback there. They lost a lot at wide receiver. They're very good on the defensive line. I mean, I think Florida State would win, but wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game or if Georgia Tech pulls off the upset.
Mitch, great stuff. Looking forward to chatting with you throughout the season, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right. Mitch Light from The Athletic. Check out their college football preview. They got great college football coverage overall. Tennessee, by the way, did not get into the bracket in theirs. They did have 4 votes out of the 28, same as Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a chance to make the playoffs, but did not make the bracket. They had Ole Miss, Alabama as at-larges, and Georgia as the league champion. Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Utah, Florida State, Texas, Clemson. I should say Texas SEC, so that's the 4th. So got to get used to that. And so that is the field of 12. But check it out on the website, and you can see it more. Just looking at a bracket, it gets a lot of wheels turning. I'm getting psyched up for the college season.